meeting of the September 8th and 9th, 2017, Fish and Wildlife Commission, following our recess. Good morning, everyone. Welcome, and thanks for being here. We will start with agenda item 15, which is open public input. If you weren't here yesterday, I will remind you that you are permitted 3 minutes of testimony. At the end of 3 minutes, you'll hear some dinging, and we would ask you to, at that time, you can finish your sentence, but wrap it up. We do have a couple of elected officials here today. We don't use that rule for elected officials, so just to let you know. So what I will do is call you up two at a time, and we'll get started. So I would like to call up Don Wallace and Lee, I should get this right today, Lee Wedham. Is that okay? Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Okay, here I'm here today to talk about the American Dipper and trying to protect it from wildlife biologists. The American Dipper seems to become a representation of water quality, and scientists these days seem to be wanting to use that bird as a representation of clean water. There was a study here that some of you may have known a few years ago, done by the Smithsonian and the Elwha tribe, in which they banded 246 dippers. The American Dipper, is anybody familiar with them and know that they live in the water in the streams? Their life is entirely evolves around the river and the water. They don't ever go inland more than maybe 3 or 4 feet, and that's just to collect nest materials, moss and roots and that kind of stuff. So their whole life is in that, in the fast water. They live their life with a lot of joy and exuberance, the way they play in the water. It's like a roller coaster to them. It's you know, it's just, they're a very happy bird for most part. And they trust people, that is, until they are captured and banded. Once that happens, their attitude towards people is very standoffish. I've been watching them for years. They come within just a few feet of me when I'm sitting and observing them. But so to ban them, I have a video on YouTube, and I'm sorry I don't have a lot of stuff to show, anything to show you, but this all just came to me last night that you people might be able to help me. The video I have on YouTube is called Moving Bands, B-A-N-D-S. And it pretty well demonstrates the activity that goes on with the American Dipper and when it's been banded. I have close-up shots of the bands just being pushed up and down on the leg by the water, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And if you can imagine a bracelet on your wrist or leg going up and down all day long, all day, every day for the rest of your life, it's going to wear on you eventually. The life expectancy of American dippers is about 9 years or more. My estimation of a banded dipper is about 2 years. The one that lived for 9 years, it was a banded dipper, but it was one of 73 dippers that were banded and the only one that made it through its entire life. They're easy to follow because they do stay in the same watershed in the same area. They say use the same territory over and over. But it's just, if you use your imagination with these birds, when they live in these fast waters, and if you can think, and I've watched the bands get snagged on twigs and such where they almost flip over and drown. But if you can imagine the way they dive into the water, and any fisherman here will tell you they watch them all the time, that it would only take a little bit of a catch between a rock or whatever, and that bird's dead. And there is nothing left for them to study, so there's no purpose for banding them. There is no purpose at all. But anyway, I'm Donnie Dipper online. Check out my Facebook page. You'll learn a lot about the bird there. I have hundreds of videos on there.
Thank you. Yes. Commissioner Keeney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to thank you for bringing back a great memory. When I was a young person, I traveled up to Alaska and was hiking around the mountains around Juneau, and somewhere along the line I picked up a dog, and so he was with me. And we were camped out on this high stream. And for at least 2 days I watched this bird, which I now know as American Dipper. And they're an amazing little bird. And, yeah, so what was your website again?
Donnie Dipper.
Okay.
Donnie Dipper.
Thank you.
Any other questions, commissioners? Thank you. So before you get started, let me see who's next here. And it is Kevin Holden. Who's that? Come on up. Okay. To you, Lee.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. Hope our city treated everyone well. Again, I'm Lee Woodham, Port Angeles City Council member. Yesterday when I came and appeared and spoke before you, I discussed mainly a safety point, that being the primary purpose of public policy. Tried to give you a personal experience story of my latest experience with our waters offshore here. So one thing that became clear is yesterday after watching other folks also address the commission is it seems that not everyone was copied with the resolutions. And I am understanding now that everyone's got a handout of signed resolutions. I guess I kind of feel bad yesterday because I didn't wrap up my resolution thoughts with my safety thing. So the resolution lays it out. We do, again, we're the coalition up here in Port Angeles, in Clallam County, is made up of small business owners, government entities, as well as recreational fishermen, which we all share the same concerns on. I've been trying to keep everyone, at personal note, as you guys are like almost politicians yourselves. So personal note to you is that our group wants to go off into salmon and other interests, and we're staying together only on halibut at this time. So we need to do something to address it. The catch record card from my experience with this group is that the catch record card does seem to have favor, and at the end of the day, it's the only way to have accurate, reliable data on our take of recreational halibut. With that card turned in, such as like a crab card is turned in, this currently as it is now, so the season ends and you send in your card. Well, you're 18 months out, you're 14 months out with like a catch record card. I think that narrows that window down to a few months to actually having real reliable data. So again, I think our group does support the catch record card for halibut. I do think that there's some money there that would justify that as in a requirement from the state for a higher fee. So don't let the higher fee, you know, think that that's not a popular thing. If the sportsman gets something out of it, and that being reliable data so that we can actually set real seasons, I have the feeling that they would accept that. And I'd be happy to take any questions.
Commissioners, any questions? Yes. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In looking at your resolution and your recommendation for a 6 fish per person per year and a particular season, I know this is all still in the state of development, but have you all taken a look at this and made a guess in your mind or an estimate that the total number of halibut over the course of your proposal would still fit under what we might expect the quota to come out of the
total
IPHC?
Allowable catch. So we're gonna use the state statistics, which say is it there's a number of 84% in there somewhere. And what I'm telling you is they call it fishing for a reason. It's not called catching. So the idea that people are going to get six fish, unless you're running a personal long line, I can give you some more personal experience here. I fished six of the, I think, 9 days that we had, and finally, towards the end, I finally found a spot that hadn't been picked over, and I caught one. So, back to the old saying, it's called fishing for a reason. It's not catching. We're not going to... If you can guarantee everyone that buys a catch record card six fish, then I admire you.
Any other questions? Yes, Commissioner Keeney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to clear up something in my own mind from yesterday's talk. Is there a need to not implement this, in your view, not implement a state quota, and is there a danger of that happening to where it forces, you know, your fishermen out on certain days? And is there a need then to go to back to a regional quota, or is that still in place? How much is the regional quota versus state quota?
The quota thing would take too long to get into, and I don't think that this is the proper place to talk about that. But what I would talk about is that having a catch record card and a longer season to actually catch something and punch your card, that's going to help the safety thing that I led off with yesterday. And not only is there the wind out here, but then we have the bad tides, right? So when you're fishing anything over 220 with a 2-pound weight on a minus tide, you can't hit bottom. Even when you're drifting with the tide, you can't hit bottom. You're fishing with usually a big horse herring that's got more drag with that tide. And 2 pounds isn't enough. I guess you could go to a 4-pound, but then your arm would be dead by the time you tried to bring that up. So, we just got a common sense thing. And then by having a longer season and a real catch record card, I think that's going to alleviate these problems that we've tried to identify.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Great. I'd like to say thanks again for coming up to Port Angeles. Welcome.
Yeah, it's been a great visit. Thank you.
You bet.
So Dave Kroonquist and Kevin, to you.
Poison, pacifiers, and placebos. My name is Kevin Holden. I live in Squim. I have a 24-foot offshore boat. I fish this area, and I'm a member of the Puget Sound Anglers. I'm here to talk about your insistence on a day-specific halibut season. That is incredibly dangerous. Last year's season opener, I was at John Wayne Marina, and I saw families getting into 18-foot open boats, knowing that there was going to be 35-mile-an-hour winds out at the lighthouse by about 1 o'clock. Why did they do it? Because they want a halibut. They want a family day. What choices did they have? 5 days? What choices did they have? They went out. Well, I wouldn't go out. I finally went out the last day. I went out to Green Point. In my offshore boat, I buried the bow twice. Green waves coming back. You know, talk about dangerous. And that's day specific. What choice did I have? If I want a halibut, that's why. And I got skunked. I can take the skunk. I can't take the stupidity of a one-day opener or a one-day specific halibut season. So what I'm suggesting is what's happening right now is a poison that our people are willing to take, and it's being used as a pacifier when they know darn well it's just a placebo. And it's going to kill somebody. And then the blood is going to be on those who made the decision that this is a functioning system. And it's not. We need to go to an open season, have a limit. I'd be happy with 2 halibut a year. I didn't get any last year here. And let me decide when it's safe to take my family out. Because what's happening right now is dangerous. and it will kill somebody. Thank you for all coming.
Thank you. Questions? Yes. Commissioner Baker.
That was compelling testimony, and we've heard a lot about halibut here these 2 days, and we'll take it home with us, try to
figure out
whether we can do anything to help. We are limited in a couple of ways, but my question is about, well, Commissioner Keeney got my first question about the regional quotas, but the second question is the way that I understand this specific day season is that we are going to open the season, have the few days, watch the catch cards. If the fish aren't caught, then the season would be possibly elongated by a few more days. So my question is it also dangerous if we had an open season, given the scarcity of the fish, which seems to be the real problem all the way around? Wouldn't everybody just go out on the first day and the second day and use up all the fish, and then those that had the sense to wait would get skunked for sure?
I think there's only so many fish. So to turn around and say that there's magically going to be more fish that arrive when I got skunked out of 6 days this year, I think is, as Lee mentioned, it ain't going to happen. The whole point of opening a season is to allow me the opportunity. Not that I'm going to, but to go out when it's safe, when the tides are right, when the winds aren't kicking my butt all over the strait. Because right now, I didn't get any. So what does that do to your numbers? That stands in the face of all the numbers that you have. So it's not working. And it's dangerous. That's my point. So let's put the quotas aside, as Lee suggested. And let's look at how can we make this industry safe and help sustain our businesses that are struggling right now with one day at a time. Because that's even stupider than actually being day specific. That is my point, though. The situation is it's fishing. I don't mind going out and not getting one. I am afraid of. I waited 6 days to finally go out, and I had to because it was the last day. And I almost buried the bow. I mean, I almost sunk the boat doing it. That's dangerous, and there's no reason for it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, commissioners? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Sherry Kidd. Dave.
Good morning, commissioners, Madam Chair, commissioners, Director Unsworth, Deputy Director Storr. My name is Dave Kroonquist. I'm here today on behalf of the Olympic Peninsula Salmon Halibut Coalition, Clallam County businesses, members of Puget Sound Anglers and the Coastal Conservation Association, and a large number of unaffiliated halibut anglers to talk about the sport halibut fishery issues. You've seen the resolutions. You should have received some supplemental background information that we've been distributing within our group. We can talk all day on halibut stuff, and so I would request that maybe some of us can sit down with the fish committee, with the commission, to walk through what we see as the process. I want to reinforce concerns that have been raised already about the management of the sport fishery. We've seen steadily decreasing days on the water, and with that decline, the development of the derby mentality. Their safety issues have been outlined. At the same time that we're seeing reduced days, we're being told by staff that our success rate is going up. Fish 11 days, and we're catching 660 fish a day here in the Straits. The year before, we were fished 15 days, and we're catching 500 fish a day. So as the days decline, the catch rate goes up, and then we see shorter and shorter seasons. Concurrent with the reduced number of days is the negative economic impacts that the state and the local communities' businesses are facing with, you know, people not coming out to fish. If you have a one-day opener, they're not going to drive from Seattle out here to fish for one day. If we had last year we had a two-day opener, Thursday, Saturday, but nobody came out to stay at the places on the third day. And then all of a sudden we had a fourth day, and then we had a fifth day, and we ended up with 9 days, but they weren't in a time frame when folks could plan better. One part of one aspect of the fishery that does need to be addressed, and I think can be handled and should be handled through the PFMC process by the state, is that the sport fleet gives up to 70,000 pounds a year of halibut to the incidental halibut take by the sablefish fishery north of Point Chehalis. We don't mind that they, you know, we know they're going to catch fish in halibut incidentally. If they can't keep those fish, then it becomes wastage, and that comes off of the top for everybody's fishery. Our contention is that incidental take should come off of the commercial harvest numbers and not be subsidized by the sport fleet. We're supportive of the standalone halibut catch record card, patterned after the crab catch record card. Currently, halibut information is about 18 months behind. We don't send in our halibut catch record card until April of the following year, and then it's the timeline to get it evaluated is not good. And we've discussed the season structure, and we would encourage the commission and staff to work with Oregon, California, Idaho to approach the IPHC about looking at the recreational halibut fishery differently from the commercial fishery.
Thank you. Yes, Commissioner Kehoe.
Thanks for your testimony. I know, and your commitment to this cause. No one can question that. I'm sure you volunteer a lot of your time and hours and expertise. My question is, though, and I must confess, I'm not an expert on this, so please bear with me. So as I understand it, you want, instead of one, 2-3 day opening announcement pre, so the people can plan, your preference would be to have that an extended period of time for an opener, right? Is that?
Yes.
Okay. But though there is certainly the possibility, and I acknowledge that the gentleman's testimony earlier, that sometimes the success rate is not what people would like, but certainly there is a possibility that the catches are relatively high and that you could end up hitting that quota and then have to close earlier than what you had expected. And then by that time, then you've got some disappointed people that travel all the way here, and they're going to have to go home without even an opportunity to fish. So, I mean, is that acceptable in terms of, for purposes of the businesses here in Port Angeles and the county? Is that an acceptable outcome?
That folks would plan a trip and then can't
yes.
get out here?
Yes.
No, it's not acceptable. We understand that they want to come out on a vacation. They may plan far in advance. The whole issue of the halibut fishery goes back 95 years, and the process is driven by the International Pacific Halibut Commission. And yes, there's a finite amount of halibut based on their survey numbers that's available for catch. Currently, about 24% of the harvest goes to the recreational fleet for Alaska, British Columbia, and the West Coast. Washington, Oregon, California split about 600,000 pounds between the three states. Washington gets the lion's share, which we appreciate, and each state wants to protect their turf. Within the Washington state, the 2A catch share plan issue is that we have is that in 2001 or thereabouts, when there was a change in the protocols for the commercial fishery, the numbers were the calculations were such that the sablefish fleet gets at least 10,000 pounds off of the top of the rec quota. And then up to an additional 60,000 pounds. And that's one aspect that we think we don't, as I said, we don't care that they're we know they're going to catch the fish. We don't want to see them wasted. but that should be charged against the commercial share. And that would have added, this year would have added 93,000 pounds to the recreational harvest.
Yep, thank you. But with all due respect, sir, I mean, those are two, I know they're interrelated issues, but they are separate issues.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, in order to increase the quota, going through the council process, and which, you know, if in fact Washington were to change and free up this halibut that you would like to go to the recreational sector, my guess is that other states and tribes would have the same interest in getting that fish. So it's a, and I think you appreciate that. So, I mean, I think in the short term, you know, if there's a way that we can help this community create an opportunity that makes more sense business-wise for anglers, I think we're very supportive of that. And, but when you get to kind of that other issue, that's where it really gets quite complicated.
It is very complicated. I just think that the IPHC and PFMC need to take a different look at the recreational fishery, and it should be managed in a different format. We were not really pleased with the proposal that state floated to PFMC in June, which would have been 8 weekends of halibut fishing this year, 1 fish a day and a 2 fish annual limit. As Kevin said, you know, he'd be happy with 2 fish, so would I. It took me 8 years to catch a fish. You know, this year was a good year for me. I actually caught 2, but it was 8 years in between. But so we were in the community looking at a potential halibut derby up here in Port Angeles. It's been a big money raiser for the community. We could have worked around a 2-day fishery, or a 1 fish and 2 in possession, but the and that proposal was, you know, acceptable for this year because it would have been better than last year. And then August 28th, the state said, well, these are the two options that we're looking at. One is status quo, where we'll fish on the individual quotas, and that would be our preference here in Puget Sound and the North Coast. Or the parent state preferred option is lump Puget Sound, the North Coast, and the South Coast as one unit, and everybody fishes until the quota is reached. Well, if we have the bad weather that we can have up here and the strong tides and stuff, getting out of La Push is not an easy proposition. Turning the corner at Nia Bay for the small boat angler is, you know, when you have to go out 20, 30 miles to chase a halibut, that's not a lot of fun either. And in Puget Sound or the Straits, you know, it's a big river. And when the tide starts running, you're talking 2-3 knot currents, it's hard to fish. So, yeah, we would like to see some kind of a better season structure, and we realize it's a long-term process, but we think the economic impacts for the whole coastal, all of the coastal communities, we'd like to see a little more push from all three coastal states and Idaho, since they're a member of the PFMC, to you know, push the IPHC to re-examine the halibut, recreational halibut fishery. There's got to be some way to spread that pressure out and keep the economies going.
Thank you.
Any other questions, commissioners? Thank you. Commissioner Kaizek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know sometimes the closest hand waving is the one the hardest to see.
Yeah,
so and let me start by saying thanks for the testimony, and thanks for all the time that you've spent at the Pacific Council on the IPHC meetings and the interest of all the folks here on this important halibut thing. You all are trying to make things better, and that's a good thing. To the extent that there are these estimates of if the season was longer, how many fish would be caught? Would they catch too many? What's the probability that the catch would be too high? And I know the process is still percolating through towards some sort of decision in November on some of this. But Have you guys had the opportunity to have staff show you to the point where you've got confidence in their methodologies of if there's a 10-day season, we expect there to be 100 halibut caught. If there's a 12-day season, we expect there to be 150 halibut caught, or this or that. Have you yet had a chance to see and take a careful look at and get confidence in some of the estimates of catch? And have you all had the chance to, I think there's been some sort of public meetings to expose ideas like looking at the calendar and having the seasons be during soft tides instead of racing tides?
Yes, we will be meeting again in October, is my understanding, with staff to pick the days that we're going to fish in 2018. It's projected to be five to seven days of fishing time, but last year we all started fishing the same days. That helped spread the pressure out, and that's a good thing. If we can keep the regional quotas available, there's some flexibility there if we have bad weather and can move things around. As far as the data collection, we were going along pretty happy up till about 2006, and we had a 70-day halibut season, and we were consistently below quota. And something changed in 2006-07. The catch rate skyrocketed, went up to they were talking fish equivalent days back then, and they were projecting, and we had a split season up here in the Straits. There's the east end of the Straits and the San Juans, and then the west end, the CQ folks, and the fish appear to be moving out during the year. So we would open first inside, and then as the fish moved west, then CQ would open up. I think it was 2006, the state said we were catching 170 fish a day, and turned out that was a combined total for area 6 and area 5 in broad terms, because that's where most of the fishing occurs. And as the catch rate went up, then the days started declining. We don't know how many people are actually fishing for halibut. The state says there's average 27,000 trips per year, and that's ocean and Puget Sound. But how many of those trips are multiple trips by individuals? There's somewhere in the neighborhood of 300,000 halibut catch record cards issued each year. Person goes in to buy a saltwater license, give me everything, and clerks don't. And I sold licenses for a while. I'd ask, you fish for halibut? No, I don't think I need that. Well, a lot of clerks don't worry about that. So now there's 300,000 potential halibut fishermen out there. And when you start running your statistics, and you have to have, there's these people might fish for halibut, could have fished for halibut. We don't know that they didn't fish for halibut, but that can skew the numbers. The survey numbers, the telephone surveys are fairly small, so that changes things around. We've been working with the state and talking with staff, but it seems to be a one-way street. It goes in, and then nothing happens until we have a meeting. And I don't think the we've had enough meetings. State presented a proposal to PFMC in June. They said they would talk with the stakeholders August 28th. They had the meeting. PFMC starts the 12th. Halibut's going to be discussed on the 13th. That's not a whole lot of time to discuss the options. And now PFMC will come out with a 2A catch share plan draft, and then that will be acted on in the November meeting in Costa Mesa, California. And hopefully we'll have our preferred option, which is fish on the quotas in the areas and not lump everything together and have everybody going hell-bent for leather. I don't know if I got to the question or not.
Thank you. Obviously very knowledgeable. Any other questions? Thank you. Deputy Mayor.
Good morning. Madam Chair and Commission, thank you for being in Port Angeles. You came to the fishing capital of the world. Well, wait a minute. I was born and raised here. It used to be, and we want it to be again. I'm sorry the curtains are pulled, but we have a beautiful view here of the Strait of Juan de Fuca over to Canada. And if we go halfway over, we're at the international line. And, you know, we can all go fishing today for halibut on the Canadian side, all of us. We would love you to join us if we take a charter over to the Canadian side, because they have 10 months of fishing for halibut and the six catch limit. So you can... So we don't, I'm not, Dave Krumquist knows all the details. I have more of a larger overview, because when the halibut season has been shortened and shortened and shortened until this year it became a crisis and my phone began ringing off the hook when I was told that it was shortened to just 3 non-consecutive days. It just didn't make sense for our community. When I say our community, I mean the entire peninsula from Nea Bay to Clallam Bay to Squim to Port Angeles. Like, what is happening? Now, as a meeting planner, you had to book this room ahead. This hotel is booked out a year ahead. So people who plan vacations to come here to fish, if you have 3 non-consecutive days, they don't come. They're not going to come over from Bellevue. They're not going to come from out of state. We need a halibut derby. Our economy, it's an economic engine. So... I'm the one that put together the resolution with input from community members. And it was passed by the Port Angeles City Council. And we had the council full of folks, like you have seen the last few days. Boy, did we get a lot of people come to our Port Angeles City Council when we were going to discuss this resolution. Because... we have businesses that were just suffering, and they came, and I hope they've been here to talk to you, but they came and talked numbers about how when we only have 3 non-consecutive days that we can plan on, how business fell off dramatically. So it's a community issue. I've spoken with the commander of the Coast Guard base. It's a safety issue. Policing. John Wayne, you don't want to go to John Wayne Marina on the 3 non-consecutive days that have been approved for halibut fishing. You can't, you have to, the highway is jammed up with boats trying to get in there. It's lined up, and they have to add extra police, and it's not safe. And our marinas are overcrowded. They're not safe. And then the wind comes in from the west. Well, my husband's a fisherman, and he's not here today, so I'm going to softly say, in the 10 years we've been married, he's never caught a halibut, but he goes fishing. We do have fresh halibut in the freezer. That's because fishing buddies give him halibut. He brings it home, and I'm really, it's delicious, but he's never caught one, but he goes out. Problem is, on bad days, the windy days, you can extend it, but we only knew we all had 3 non-consecutive days. People are going to go out. The weather, the Coast Guard is against people going out in non-safe conditions. But legally, you have legislated 3 days. Bar the weather, it's not weather dependent. It should be. So if we had a halibut season, people could make logical choices on when to fish and how to fish, because the Coast Guard has a huge area, but they have they're not in agreement with 3 specific non-consecutive days where everybody has to push their boats out there at one time and get caught in the windstorm. So that creates a problem for her. So it's an economic, it's been, and I want you to know you've received a lot of press up here this year because of cutting our season down. In 2006, we had a 70-day season, and then It went to 12 days in 2014, 11 days in 2015, 8 days last year, and then the three non-consecutive days. So one of our major sports reporters said halibut anglers thought an 11-day fishery in the most marine areas was bad in 2015, and 8-day season this year was even worse. Well, folks, hold on to your hats, because guess what's coming up now? So we have gone to our legislators from state to federal. The community has come together and said, this is a fishing community. Economically, safety-wise, let us fish. Let us fish. Do we have to go over to Canada to fish? We shouldn't have to. So a punch card makes sense. I appreciate Dave Krumquist's time and effort, and he's helped educate me on so much of this. As the wife of a fisherman, I just try not to focus on it too much, because when I think of the actual cost of a piece of fish on my plate, when my husband has to buy a new $15,000 motor, I try to push details away and just enjoy the fish. I try not to focus on the economics, but the businesses are bringing in the economics to me and saying how much our town has suffered this year because of the stringent cutback. So we're asking for, if we had a limit of six, that's Herculean. I mean, people don't, again, I agree with Council Member Whittem, it's fishing, it's not catching. But we need a season. If we had like March 1st to July 1st, we need a season where people can check the weather and go out. I was at a luncheon at this hotel, and I received waiters gave me a note. It was from someone from Seattle saying, you know, he came over to fish. He said, but I'll never come back for fishing for one day. It's not worth it. It's too. So we want our tourists to come, but we all have to plan ahead. Our local economy has always revolved around our fishing season. We want our families to be safe. And we'd like to have a punch card that makes sense. Listen, I get little things in the mail all the time addressed to my husband. He'll pay for a punch card. I promise you, he gets all kinds of things that spinners and things that they look good. It's addictive. We all know that, okay? So a punch card makes sense. We'll pay for it. It'll pay for itself. It'll give us a better view of what's actually being caught for halibut. And let's give us a season where we can, let's go back to logic. Economically, our community, you've been in our thoughts and prayers a great deal this year, and in our papers. So let's work together. It's a partnership. You all are trying to do your best. We're trying to do our best. But our community has been shortchanged, and it became a crisis this year. And so even when the three non-consecutive days have been extended, we can't plan on that. People can't plan on vacation. This hotel's booked up a year in advance. We can't say, well, maybe they'll extend it a day. Who's going to really plan ahead on that? This hotel can't, our city can't, our budget can't, our fishermen can't. So help us. I'm asking for logic. I'm saying if Oregon has a six fish limit, we can go out there. 9 miles, six fish limit. Work with us. Help us here. Let's get back to the way things should be, so that the wives don't have to worry about our husbands going out on a really bad day because he's got to get his fish. He's got to try. He's got to fish. My husband spent so much money on his boat. I really ask you sincerely, let him fish, okay? Thank you very much for your time. The people of Port Angeles appreciate you coming here.
Sherry. Any questions?
Any questions?
We appreciate your being here. Thank you. And that ends the public testimony.